Boker Tov, we are studying the Parashat today. Last week on Sunday, recently we did Parashat Acharemot, and we basically got through the entire Parashat. Now, to begin Parashat Kedoshim, we have to step back and remember what we did at the end of Parashat Acharemot. What happens at the end of Parashat Acharemot? We discuss laws relating to the Arayot, meaning the forbidden sexual relationships, and the punishment for that would have been that if you were to engage in such things, you would get vomited out of the land. The land could not continue. So looking at the text from a high level, we finished in Parashat Acharemot the topics of Kiddushah in the Mishkan, which included covering the blood and not eating the blood of the animal, because that all comes into play when you're doing Korbanot. Now, after that, we're going to move to topics that are outside the Mishkan. Okay? And the first topic that we discuss outside the Mishkan is the forbidden sexual relationship, which is very interesting. There's something significant about that.
Bless you.
Thank you. Allergies. Okay. So there's something very key about the fact that the first thing after the Isur, after all of the mitzvot of the Mishkan, is the Isurim of the sexual relationships. And now Parasha Kedoshim, let's read a few psukim, that's our parasha. Vayadaber Adonai el Moshe lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber el kol adat b'nei Israel, speak to the entire congregation of Israel, ve'amarta alehem kedoshim tiyu. And you should say to them, they should be holy, ki kadosh ani Adonai lechem, because I am holy, I Hashem your God am holy. Now, what are the mitzvot, some of the mitzvot that would be included in being holy, for I am Hashem is holy? So let's see. Ishimo ve'aviv. Person should fear his mother and his father. Ve'et shabbatotai tishmor. And you should keep my Shabbatot. Ani Adonai lo'achem. I am Hashem your God. Al tifnu el ha'elili ve'lo'im ha'secha le'tasu lechem. Yeah, so first of all, there is a very interesting Divar Torah that shows that the Parashat Kedoshim is an expansion of the Ten Commandments. Maybe we'll do a little bit of that on Sunday, but it's not something I'm going to get into right now. Okay? Lo tasu lechem, you should not make yourself molten images. Ani Adonai lochem. If you bring a korban shelamim, you have to eat it on time. Okay, and then it seems like there's a random assortment of mitzvot. And now, one of the things that these mitzvot all have in common is that they're not necessarily tied to the Beit HaMikdash. For example, even the one we just read, which is you have to eat your korban shelamim, you have to eat it in time. You can't eat it after 3 days.
Yes.
So the Perushim say, why is that brought in this part of the mitzvot? This part of the mitzvot is outside the Mishkan.
Yes.
Because this part of the mitzvot is for Am Yisrael, who are, because the shelamim is a korban that you bring as a meal.
They bring it. They have to know. They have to know what they have to do.
You bring it as a meal, yes. And it's for Am Yisrael to eat.
Yes.
It's not like a korban.
Not with other people.
With the Kohen as well. But it's something that relates to all of the people. So it's brought in the people's mitzvot, not in the mikdash's mitzvot. Okay? But all of these mitzvot that we see as part of Kedoshim to you are all mitzvot like this. And you can go through the entire parasha. And we'll see exactly, you know, we'll learn all of these mitzvot. Now, what I want to understand is the placement of everything. You have the isur or all of the laws pertaining to the Mikdash. You have the Isurim of the sexual relationships. And then you have these positive mitzvot of being Kadosh. Because at the end of the day, to be Kadosh is something you have to do.
Yes.
It's something you have to actively do.
You have to do things to be Kadosh.
So first of all, I want to point out that there's a famous Ramban, which I can't ignore. The Ramban says that what does it mean, Kedoshim Tihyu? It means you have to become, and this is aside from what the point of the shiur is today, you have to become kadosh even through things that are mutar lecha, even through things that are permitted to you. He said technically, if you could keep the law of the Torah, but you could eat a lot, and you could drink a lot,
and you could
engage in all of the, you know, the physical pleasures of the world, to the extent that you're living a very hedonistic, non-Torani life. And he said, to the extent that a person could be naval b'yeshut ha-Torah, that a person could become disgraced with the permission of the Torah. And he said, where do we learn that a person, it's not just about keeping the details of a halakha, but it's about having an understanding of a proper way of living, you know, that's above and beyond the technicalities of the law, that is kedoshim to you. You should be holy. Even when something's mutar to you, that doesn't mean you should go and, you know, engage in all the frivolous and permitted behaviors that exist. You know, you should refrain. So you should live a proper life. That's a famous Ramban. Now, Rashi is what I wanted to point out. Look at what Rashi says on the Berah B'nai El-Kol Adab in Israel. Rashi addresses the question of what does this have to do, this Kedoshim, to you, what does this have to do with Parashat Achremot, with the forbidden sexual relationships? Look what he says. Hevu pirushim min ha'arayot min ha'avera. Separate from the arayot and from the avera. Separate from the sexual relationships and from sin. Shekol makom shata motze geder erva. Anytime you find a place, this is in Rashi on the first pasuk of our parasha. Anytime you find a place that tells us stay away from sexual relationships that are forbidden, you also find ata motze kedusha. You find the description of kedusha, meaning Rashi is pointing out something very interesting. You're going to see very often in the laws of the Torah that it's going to tell you, be kadosh, separate from forbidden sex. That's an interesting point to know. Meaning kedusha, the separating from forbidden sex, is very, very, very related to kedusha.
Because it's a way to control yourself. You have to control yourself.
So we'll see. He gives a few examples. Another thing I want to show you is here. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, I can't find it inside, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin says the following. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, actually, here. Kemo shamru chazal, Yodin ayu Israel, Israel knew ba'avodah zarah she'en bah mamash. Am Israel, we've seen them go into Avodah Zarah multiple times in the Torah, with the Chet HaEgel, with Baal Peor. We've seen them do it. The Chachamim in Masechet Sanhedrin, they say that Am Israel, they knew that the Avodah Zarah wasn't really anything. Meaning that's not why they were doing it. They weren't doing it because they actually believed in the Avodah Zarah. Ve'lo avdu Avodah Zarah, ella lehatir lahem arayot b'farhesiyah. Only in order to permit themselves to have forbidden sexual relationships. It was all about the sex.
Unfortunately.
That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, which is a very, very fascinating thing. So we have two points. One is that the whole idea of Kiddusha, according to Rashi, is tied to the forbidden sexual relationships from last week's parasha. We also know that all the Isurim surrounding Avodah Zarah, it seems like, according to this Gemara, that a very, very big motivation for doing the Avodah Zarah was the sex that would come with it. I'm sure These Avodah Zarah rituals all contain forbidden sexual relationships.
That was the highlight of it.
I want to point out one more thing, and this is going to be maybe a little bit political. One of the mitzvot, or the isurim, in last week's parasha, at the end with the arayot, didn't fit perfectly. Could you guess what it was? Pasuk Kaf Aleph in Achraimot. Perak Yudchet Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Do not let your descendants be given to Molech.
Yes.
What was Molech? It was some form of child sacrifice.
Yes. They used to give the child.
They would give the child to the Kumar, and there's a machloket if they would pass him over a fire or if they would actually kill the child, assuming that they did kill the child, because we know that there was child sacrifice in these cultures. So that form of Avodah Zarah, of killing the child, is in all of these mitzvot of arayot. It's mixed into the mitzvot of arayot.
Why is it in the mitzvah?
That's the question. Every other mitzvah here, every other isur here, is a forbidden sexual relationship. And then you have the isur of giving your child to Molech, it's mixed in. Okay, so we've asked many questions. We've asked, the relationship between kedusha and sex seems to be a strong one. We've noticed that Am Yisrael, even the desire for Avodah Zarah is related to sex. And then when we were talking about the isurim of sex, we noticed that there's an isur of giving the child over in the middle that's mixed in. So I want to quickly try to understand the sexual impulse, which we've discussed before in our isurim in the previous years, and why it's so significant. Remember our reasoning we gave why the these mitzvot of erva, why they stop a person from being able to live in the, why the land spits them out if they do these mitzvot?
Because this was like what this was what the Canaanites used.
And so the Canaanites do, and if we do what they did,
or the Egyptians,
and then we let our sexual temptations run wild, then there's no family, you know, because for the family to structure to work, the men need to control their sexual urges, and if they don't, then there's no family, and if there's no family, there's no education, and
there's
no future in Am Yisrael. Now that could be the relationship between these isurim of erva and the molech, because what is the molech saying? The molech is saying, don't kill your children physically as part of avodah zarah, and the rest of the sexual relationships are saying, do not ruin your family by engaging in sexual behavior. So that could be the relationship, but there's something deeper. There's something deeper to it. And that is the sexual impulse, what it represents within, let's say, a man, is it represents, do you know what's another way of saying a person's sexual strength in the Torah? Kochi, my strength. Bereshit oni, my vigor. My strength and vigor.
Men unfortunately measure.
You measure. There's a certain measuring
based on your sexual.
Of sexual capabilities, yes, and things, yes, like that. Meaning, one of the ways that a man asserts himself is by his power over others. And a man could show his power over others
with
a sexual act.
Yes.
It's the way he shows that he dominates. You know, the man can show that he dominates through the sexual act. So, and the sexual act at its core represents the core strength of the person. That's why we see so many times that in the Torah, with my vigor. Vigor is a euphemism for the sexual strength. The firstborn is called my strength. The one who came from my strength. Why? Because the sexual act represents the impulses within the man, the energy inside the man. And when they release that, and when the man releases that energy in the sexual act, it's a form of asserting themselves. Now we can understand everything. Why is it that we said kiddusha is so related to the sexual act? Why refraining from the sexual act is so related to kiddusha? Because what is it? What did we say is the root of avodah zarah? What is the reason a person does avodah? What is the essential? When you do avodah zarah, who are you actually serving?
Yourself.
You're serving yourself. You're saying,
ego.
There's no God, so I'm going to choose my God. I get to choose what my God tells me. Essentially, you're serving yourself. Now, think about it for a second. Why would avodah zarah be related so much to sex to the extent that Rashi will tell us that, to the extent that the Gemara will tell us that when they wanted to do avodah zarah, they're really just thinking about the sex. Because it's almost the same thing. The avodah zarah, when a person does, they're serving themselves, right? They're putting themselves before God. They're saying, I choose my God. I decide what my God tells me what to do. And the gods all serve me. I don't serve the gods. Sexual act, when a person engages in and he doesn't control it, it's as if he's saying, I'm going to let my strength run wild because I'm the master. I'm going to assert myself whenever I want. My strength, I get to use it however I wish. If I get to use it in any way, and there's no curbing me. And it ultimately, the sexual behavior, when it's frivolous, it becomes a very selfish behavior. So what does the Torah tell us to do with the sexual behavior? You have to control yourself. That's your strength. Now, who's in charge of your strength? Are you in charge of your strength? Well, if you think you're in charge of your strength, then you're worshiping yourself. But to control the sexual behavior, you have to say, Borei Olam is in charge. And Borei Olam gets to decide how my sexual strength is used. Essentially what you're saying, when you keep laws relating to sexual purity, you're essentially saying that even when it comes to asserting myself, I bow before God. I'm not going to do it as I wish. I let God be the decider. So there is a very, very interesting relationship between the motivations for avodah zarah and the motivations for sex. And that's why the Chachamim said that anytime they wanted to do avodah zarah, they're really just thinking about the sex. But it's because anytime they wanted to serve themselves, what do?
Yeah.
They go and they fulfill their own pleasures,
yes,
irrespective of if anybody else is telling them not to, irrespective of if it's somebody else's wife. They assert their own dominance because they think that they're gods. And that's why they're related like that. And then why is kiddusha so related to sex? Why does the Rashi say kiddusha so related to sex? Because what is kiddusha present? When we go into the mikdash, we're trying to recognize that Borei Olam runs the world. The whole reason we don't go into the mikdash and we purify ourselves before we go into the mikdash, according to the Rambam, is to show that I can't just come and see Borei Olam anytime because he's higher than me. He's on a higher level than me. I have respect for Borei Olam. So we train ourselves to learn respect for Borei Olam by not going into the mikdash all the time. So why would... And that's the essence of kiddushah. It's the recognition of the fact that Borei Olam is on a higher level. And I have to guide my behaviors according to what Borei Olam wants. That's kiddushah.
To be able to get close to.
So then why would the sexual urge be so related to kiddushah? Because if you control your sexual urge, which is the most fundamental urge that a person has, you're essentially showing that I admit Borei Olam is in charge. I admit that Borei Olam is the one who gets to decide these things because he is the master of the world. I am not the master of the world. I can't just dominate whatever I want. Borei Olam is the master. And that's what a person is admitting when they control their sexual temptations. And that's why when you control your sexual temptations, it's considered like it's kiddushah. It's considered like you're admitting that Borei Olam runs the world and he has organized the world, and you are falling into the framework of what it means to be kadosh in that sense. Finally, why is the molech mixed into the Abu Dazaraz? Because if into the sexual things, because when I engage frivolously in sexual behavior, I'm essentially, as we said, saying that I'm the boss. I get to do whatever they want, whatever I want. I could waste my seed. I could put my seed in an animal, chas v'shalom, put it anywhere. And it's about me showing my strength, and there's no other meaning to it. And I'm the boss. And what does it mean? And what are you showing whenever you're sacrificing your own child? You say, I'm the boss of my child. My child isn't God's child. My child isn't created in the image of God. My child is created in the image of me. And if I want to do whatever I want with the child, I get to do it. So then molech becomes very similar to the Avodah Zarah and becomes very similar to non-controlling the sexual urges. And that is something that we could think about in relation to actually the abortion debate. Because a lot of the abortion debate hinges on, is the child me, or is the child the son of God? And that's really the difference between it. And we see a lot. We see a lot of it. It's related to the sexual urges, because when a person, the same way a person can say, it's my seed, I could do whatever I want with my seed, a person will also say, it's my descendant, I could do whatever I want with my descendant. That's the ultimate self-worship. It's the recognition that even a fellow human being who's your son is serving you, but it's not the son of God. God didn't create it. You created the child, so you could do whatever you want. That's the ultimate level of egotisticalness. And that's the running themes throughout the connection between Achoreimot and Parshat Kedushim. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen. Amen.